On your handout, you'll notice that the theme for today says, holiness and cleansing come from God. Ethan had made up the list for us today, and it originally said, leprosy and sin are bad. That they are. I figured I'd give it a little bit more of a spiritual twist for us this morning. We've been looking at various things. I've done this series kind of in conjunction with the elders' desire to go through the biblical story in the 3 years. I'm not going to be preaching this series for 3 years. Don't get worried. I'm trying to just do it occasionally. But to see these themes that go throughout the biblical story. And one such theme is that of leprosy. In our world, we usually think of cancer being the dreaded word that you hear, and obviously it is, for good reason. We understand the role that it plays in lives, the downfall that it plays in people's health. Very few things can be worse to hear than it's cancer. But in ancient days, it was leprosy. And it was leprosy that ruined lives. Believed to be highly contagious, characterized by nodules under the skin. Excuse me. And if you'll bear with me, I don't have leprosy. Upper respiratory infection. Thus, no tie this morning. I just couldn't take a noose around my neck this morning. I apologize. I'll be back on it next week. But leprosy was believed to be contagious, had nodules under the skin, created these ulcerated sores, these white scaly scabs. Seems to have involved severe nerve damage. And not only did it create the physical problems, there were social ramifications as well. The leper, sadly, had to be banished from their family and from society. The book of Leviticus, chapter 13, is all about leprosy, really. And the one who had leprosy had to go about with his hand over his mouth saying, unclean, unclean. Social restitution could be had, but only after they were cured and announced so by a priest. So there were physical problems, there were social problems, there were also spiritual problems. Leprosy made one unclean. Now, I've made this distinction before. We need to understand that uncleanness does not equal sin necessarily. But what we see throughout Scripture is that uncleanness is a picture of sin. Uncleanness would separate one from God. And so that's why we want to think this morning about the idea of holiness and cleansing coming from God. Now, let me just get very technical real quick, because you've probably heard this. We'll just get this out of the way. Leprosy, what's called leprosy in the Bible, is not the same thing as leprosy today. Leprosy today is called Hansen's disease, and it is, in fact, a different disease. The Bible use of the term leprosy seems to kind of be an umbrella term to talk about numerous skin diseases, ones that are bad nonetheless, ones that are horrible and life-changing nonetheless. I just wanted to make that distinction so you knew that ahead of time. Let's think about some of these stories in the Bible that involve leprosy. I've asked you to turn to Exodus chapter 3, and Moses asked God, how will they know that you sent me? What's a sign? And God says, well, you'll turn water to blood. You'll throw down your rod, and it will become a snake. And he said, here's another one. Put your hand in your cloak. And when he brings it out, it says that it was covered in leprosy. I said Exodus 3, I apologize. Exodus 4 at verse 6. Put your hand inside your cloak. And he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And God said, put your hand back inside your cloak. So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. I want to tell you, the reason this sign is powerful is because people were scared to death of leprosy. They were terrified of it. And so Moses is trying to make some kind of an impact on Pharaoh, and he puts his hand into his cloak, and when he brings it out, it was the dreaded disease that everybody fears, and that everybody hates. And they could see. That's why this would have been such a powerful sign. And then Moses puts his hand back in, takes it, and it's clean. That's amazing. How did that happen? Nobody's cured from leprosy. Nobody has this kind of power. Thus, it was a great sign for Moses. Turn over to Numbers chapter 12. There are so many lessons in Numbers chapter 12 that we could talk about. This is where Miriam and Aaron get a little jealous of Moses, you remember? Moses is the leader. Moses is the guy up front. Moses is the guy on the pedestal. And they say, we've been here the whole time. Why does Moses get all the glory? Why does Moses get all the credit? They didn't like the wife he had married. They were complaining about everything. Look at Numbers 12 at verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. When the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said, O my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and sinned. Listen to his description. Let her not be as one dead, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried to the Lord, O God, please heal her, please. But the Lord said, Moses, if her father had spit in her face, she would be unclean 7 days. Let her be shut outside the camp 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again. So Miriam was shut outside the camp 7 days, and the people did not set out on the march till Miriam was brought in again. I want to stop and just preach a whole lesson on here on humility and those kinds of a thing. But we just want to notice how devastating this would have been and how serious this is. And Aaron's description of one whose flesh is half eaten away. What a horrible description. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings 5. We are introduced to a Syrian commander named Naaman. You know this story. But Naaman is a great man. He seems to be a great commander. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. What a horrible situation for the. He's only going to be able to do so much. He's only going to be able to influence so much because this was a disease for which there was no real hope. If you had it, you had it. And it would eventually kill you. And here is a man who is going to be brought down ultimately by this. And what we want to pick up here is that in this story, it takes the intervention of a prophet of God to heal this man. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26, we have a king by the name of Uzziah, who has done some good things. And then he gets prideful. In chapter 26, 2 Chronicles 26, at verse 18. He has gone into the temple to offer a sacrifice. And let's actually start in verse 17. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. Let's just for a moment just acknowledge their courage in this scene. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priest, the son of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and when he became angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priest in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out, because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. Here is someone who has offended God, and the response of God is to give him leprosy. This is the punishment that God has given him. And everyone, as soon as they see this, they know exactly what it is. They know exactly how serious it is. He knows how serious it is. They get him out of the temple, as they were trying to do. And then we're told that he has to live by himself the rest of his days. Let's look at one more story very quickly, and then we're going to make some connections. And that's where we'll spend the majority of our time. Look at Luke chapter 5. This story is told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I just am interested in one phrase that Luke uses here. Luke chapter 5 at verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. Only Luke uses this phrase. And some have argued that maybe he's in the final stages of the disease. We know how diseases typically progress. And we know when people are in the final stages of life. My dad had cancer, and it progressed much quicker than we thought it would. But he got weaker. He got to where he couldn't communicate. And then he basically was almost comatose. He was non-responsive, and then he passed. We know how those last stages work, and maybe this man, this is maybe the last time he can get out of the house. I don't know. But Luke says that he's full of leprosy. He knows how serious it is. At this point, we all know how serious it is. Jesus knows how serious it is. And he said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Let's notice something about that. Leprosy is contagious. Sin is regularly seen as being contagious. And yet in this instant, Jesus does not take the contagion. Jesus gives the healing. Jesus' healing is what is contagious in this scene. And just, we almost miss the human point of contact here, that Jesus reaches out and touches this man. You're feeling bad. You're feeling down. You're feeling sick with an upper respiratory infection. You're laying in bed trying not to die. And your wife comes up and rubs your back. And you just start purring like a kitty, right? You need that attention. You need that physical contact. And Jesus, in his great compassion, reaches out and touches him. Jesus is willing to help. Jesus is compassionate. And it's seen on every page of the gospel. Before we go any further, we want to make one more point about leprosy. As far as we know, the only way to get rid of leprosy, the leprosy that's talked about in the Bible, was through a miracle. That's it. If you had it, you had it. You were going to have it. And you were going to die. What I want to do now is talk about the connection in the Bible between leprosy and sin. Let me be very clear before we start. I'm not saying that if you had leprosy, you were a sinner. God didn't just smote everybody with leprosy when they sinned. Some people don't seem to have been some egregious sinner, and they had it, like the man in Luke 5. But it was to show people what sin does. The same things that leprosy does, sin does. And I think the points we're going to make will make this clear. Like leprosy, sin brings a loss of sensitivity. Leprosy worked on the nerves. Today we might think of neuropathy, as you began to lose the feeling in your hands and feet. And leprosy did this, and sin does the same thing. 1 Timothy 4 at verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. When we give ourselves over to sin, eventually it won't be a problem for us to sin. Is this not what we teach children with their consciences? You do something one time, you lie. We'll just use a simple one. This one mentions liars. You lie to your mom or your dad about something, and the first time, man, you feel really guilty about it. But then you do it again, and you don't feel as guilty. We teach this to children. And finally, you can lie with abandon. You don't care. Do y'all know anybody that would rather lie than tell the truth? About silly things, too. I don't get it. But some people would rather lie than tell the truth about anything. Sin does that. It breaks down our consciences that God has hopefully trained through His Word because of our parents. And sin will destroy us from within so that we don't feel that kind of a thing. The Bible talks, Romans talks about those who don't have natural affection. And I can't help but read that passage and think about the problem in our culture with abortion. The lack of natural affection to that which is from your own body. And it's because we've been taught that I am important. I am the only one that matters. And now, I don't have any feeling when I squash somebody else so that I get what I want. So that I can be the center of the universe like we talked about last week. Like leprosy, sin makes us unclean. Ephesians 5 at verse 3, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you. The NIV says, don't even think about it. It must not even be a thought in your head. As is proper among saints, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, which is idolatry, and they have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. It makes us unclean. It separated, leprosy separated an individual from religious service in the Old Testament. They couldn't be a part of the temple because they were pure, they were impure. They had this spiritual uncleanness, this ritual uncleanness about them. And sin does the same thing to us. It makes us unclean. Have y'all seen that little video that floats around on Facebook about the guy who rigged up the contraption? Maybe like a 3-liter Coke bottle and put the white cotton balls in it and set up a thing to bring in the smoke from cigarettes in it. It's a very powerful anti-smoking ad. But so they go through this, you know, pack of cigarettes, and they show just in one pack of cigarettes how bad these cotton balls now look. And when I see that, I do think of the horribles of lung cancer and what cigarettes can do, yes. But what I think about is sin. And how we take into our souls, which God wants to be white as snow, the Bible talks about. And we take in this black tar of sin. And sometimes we just even relish in it. And we enjoy it. And we don't feel bad about it. And we joke about it. And we talk foolishly about it. And we make ourselves so unclean. Thirdly, like leprosy, sin is a contagious danger to others. 1 Corinthians 5 at verse 6, you remember the man that had his father's wife? How did the Corinthians respond to that? It seems as if they boasted in their tolerance. That's what we're all about today, right? We got to be tolerant. We got to put up with everything, even the most horrendous sin. And Paul says, even the Gentiles wouldn't put up with that kind of behavior. So what's the solution? Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? I don't know the statistics on this. I don't know how to find them. But I'm going to make one up. I'd be willing to bet that 3/4 of every child's first cuss word is because of one of their little friends. Maybe a cousin. Maybe a buddy from school. But every first one because of someone else that used that word. And what happens when you get a sickness in a closed, confined space? What did people do 30 years ago when their kids got chicken pox? Hey, can my son come over and play? So they can get it and just go ahead and get it over with, and they'll have it. Don't have to worry about it anymore. You put that many people in this closed, confined space, and everyone is going to get sick. And the same picture is there with sin. And Paul says, you got to get that sin out of there. Otherwise, it is going to spread, let's change our metaphors, like wildfire. All of these metaphors that we can use. 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. That doesn't even sound like the passage I learned up growing. That's from the ESV. Evil companions corrupt good morals. That's how I learned it. And we all understand that. You're around these people long enough. Let's just be clear. I wish we had a bunch of teenagers that I could make this point to, but I think it all goes to all of us, young to old alike. What's the Christmas song from 6 to 92 or something like that? I don't know why 92 is the cutoff age. Anyway, this point is for all of us. What we listen to on a regular basis, our music, our TVs, our computers, our movies, and our friends do impact us. We may think, I can listen to that music. It's not going to affect me at all. Yes, it will. Before you know it, a word will pop out, a phrase will pop out, some rude or crude language will pop out, because what is around us not only affects us, but to use the terminology of our language this morning, infects us. And we have to be clear about that. Like leprosy, sin leads to separation. I think Miriam learned a good lesson here. She had been very unhumble, and God causes her to be separated. Uzziah had been very arrogant, and God calls him to be separated. No longer is he in this position of power and importance. He is separated from that, because you can't have this contagious disease where others are. Likewise, sin separates us. Isaiah 59 at verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. We don't need to think that God is somehow not all powerful because he hasn't acted on our schedule. We need to understand that a lot of time it's because of our sins that God seems to be far from us, because sin leads to separation. Like leprosy, sin causes decay. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Now, I think the initial reading of this is a very sexual text. We're talking about how one goes from being lured maybe by someone that they shouldn't be to the point that they have this relationship that they shouldn't have. I think we can read this passage again as some kind of decaying disease as well, when it connects within our body, when we are infected with it. And then as it grows and grows and grows and eats away at us, sin does that to our soul. It will eat away at us from within. And like leprosy, sin leads to death. Romans 6 at verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Ephesians 2 at verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. We do whatever we want to do in sin. All right, just know where it leads. Just know that it is a terminal illness that we contract willingly. And sometimes we even revel in glory in it. But we will die. And like leprosy, sin requires God to act. We can't fix it ourselves. There's nothing we can do about it. I don't have the ability. There's not the medicine out there for it. God had to intervene Himself. As we've mentioned this morning, this man and God of Jesus Christ. That's a hard concept, isn't it? That's a difficult concept. We believe it and we accept it, but when we think about that, boy, that's a difficult concept. But I want you to think about this. It couldn't just be a man, a regular old man. If Terrell lived a perfect, sinless life, you know whose sins he's covered? His own. His life hasn't done anything for Tim or for Benny or for me. Congratulations, Terrell. You're getting in of your own accord. Jonathan still has his sins. You know what it took? It took God. It took God to come and live this life and to give Himself as a sacrifice, a holy, perfect, cleansing sacrifice from which we could be cleansed of our sins. There's a song, He carried our sorrows, He bore our griefs. He took so that we didn't have to pay, so that we could be made clean, so that we could be made right with God. Jesus Christ paid that price. Like leprosy, God had to act to deal with sin. Naaman couldn't do it. Elisha intervened by God's power. The leper that was full of leprosy in Luke 5 couldn't do it. It took Jesus Christ. Our sins cannot be forgiven without God and the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. We have a disease. We have a serious disease. Sin will kill us. And God told us that from the very beginning. In the day you eat of it, you will surely die. But God, in His loving grace, has made a plan to save us from our sins. Are you washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? That's what we invite you to do this morning while we stand and while we sing.